What about you guys? Been to a family reunion?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing quite like getting together with a whole bunch of people. I want you to imagine you're at a family reunion. You've probably been at one like this. And if there's enough people who are gathered together with you, chances are that there's somebody there who has just had something marvelous happen. A new baby has been born, and everybody gets to celebrate and peer into that little baby's face and pass them around. Or somebody's just retired, and there's handshakes and hugs and all kinds of questions about what are you going to do now. Or a wedding has just taken place, and everybody gets a chance to celebrate together and really rejoice with the new bride and groom. It's spectacular when you kind of get to see that. But at the very same family reunion, there's a very good chance that there's somebody there who has just had something terrible happen. A loved one has died. It's the first family reunion that great Aunt Mabel couldn't be at. Or somebody's child has just had an accident. There are so many things. Somebody has lost their job. Somebody else is in a really stressful time. And chances are that there'll be lots of talk about that too. A gentle hug, some kind words, some questions about how things are going. As people really grieve together over what that has happened. I mean, every now and then you'll be at one of those family reunions where everybody just kind of pretends it hasn't happened. But when it's a reunion of people who at least know each other somewhat, you know, you're sad for each other when bad things happen. The reality is that at the very same reunion where something wonderful has happened and something bad has happened, there's probably also two people who are there that are sitting on opposite sides of the house and who have no intention of talking to each other the entire time. Or maybe if it's like some reunions that I get to on a regular basis, they aren't sitting at opposite sides of the house because at least one of them has decided they're not coming no more.
Or they sit side by side fighting each other.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Right? Because where there is conflict, family, there will be conflict. when push comes to shove, there's probably some kind of argument going on there somehow. And unfortunately, sometimes that means people sitting there arguing, or people saying, I'm not having anything to do with that person. Or even worse, sitting in one room and the other sitting in the other room and both of them talking up a storm about how terrible those other people are and what awful things have happened, right? Conflict is everywhere. And hopefully, we always hope that people will come alongside and some reconciliation will happen and some forgiveness will happen, but if reality is that families experience joy, families experience grief, and families experience conflict. That's true of church families too, right? We can all think of times when we have gathered here together and we have celebrated together. We've celebrated people's graduations, and we've celebrated babies being born, and we've celebrated weddings, and we've celebrated incredible answers to prayer, and we rejoice together, and we talk about how marvelous it is, and how good God is, and how wonderful it is. Because families experience joy, and we rejoice together. And there's been times when we've experienced grief together, too. You know, we think about faces that aren't here because they've died. And sometimes we knew it was coming, and sometimes we didn't. But we've experienced sorrow together just as much as we've experienced joy. That's a reality of life and family. And conflict too. Whether it's a church family or whether it's a blood family, we experience conflict. There's times when we've disagreed with each other. There's times when people have been at loggerheads and you just want to hope that something will get settled. There's even been times when for years, folks haven't really talked much. Because family experience conflict. But when we're doing family at our best, we rejoice together when we're happy, and we grieve together when we're sad, and we forgive together and work it through when we've got conflict. We certainly see that in the verses that Andrew has already read for us. In fact, what we find out in the verses that Andrew's read for us is that all of those things, rejoicing and grieving and forgiving, they're all part of what it means to love each other. Let me flip back to Romans chapter 12. This is right here. What you don't always get when we read it in English is that Romans chapter 12 isn't just laid out as a whole set of really good things we should do. You know, we should love people sincerely. We should hate evil and like the good. We should honor one another above yourself, right? The whole list. This. And that's there. But when you get a chance to read it the way that Paul said it, was that he starts out saying, love must be sincere. And then everything else explains that. This is how you love, real love, no hypocrisy love, absolute family love the way it was supposed to be because it's God's love. This is how you do it. You hate what's bad. You hold on to what's good. You devote yourselves to one another. You busy yourselves about being loving. You put each other first. You serve the Lord with hearts that really, really care. You're joyful in hope. You're patient in affliction. You're faithful in prayer. You share with those who are in need. You practice hospitality. You even bless the people that are persecuting you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Be willing to associate with people no matter what their social standing is. Don't be conceited. It's all about what love looks like when the rubber hits the road in the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as God's people, as God's family. When things are good, love looks like celebrating and rejoicing together. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And when life is bad, we grieve with those who are grieving. And when life is ugly, let me read these ones from Colossians. Because Colossians says it start with love and say, this is what love looks like. No. Colossians starts with the many good things, the clothes that we should put on. It says, take off all the old, ugly, unrighteous clothes. And then this is what you're going to put on. You're going to put on compassion. You're going to put on kindness. You're going to put on humility and gentleness and patience. When life gets ugly and family gets messy, you're going to bear with each other and forgive each other. If you've got any kind of grievance against each other, you're going to forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all that, you're going to put on the one that sums up the rest. Love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. When family life is good, we rejoice. When family life is bad, we grieve together, and we take care of one another, and we help one another. And when family life gets ugly, we put up with each other. That's what bearing with one another means, right? We put up with each other. And we forgive each other. If we've got any kind of grievance against each other, we live with humility. If people have grievance against us, we learn how to say we're sorry. We learn how to make it right. We forgive because Jesus forgave us first. And he's our model of what it looks like to forgive people. Love. We love each other no matter what, in the good or the bad or the ugly. And we do that because of who God has created us to be and what God has called us to do. The very first part of that Colossians passage says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, therefore, as the family that God the Father adopted, therefore, as the people that Jesus died for because of his grace, therefore, as the people that the Holy Spirit is changing from the inside out and making holy, transforming into God's image. Therefore, as the people God loves, as God's family, we love one another because God loved us first, because God celebrated with us, because God is there when we are grieving. Because in the midst of our mess, God forgave us. God's love for us goes way beyond the good and the bad and the ugly. And that kind of love changes us from the inside out so that we become people, with God's help, who are able to love others in the good and the bad and the ugly. And we don't have to wait for a family reunion in order to do so. Because we get day by day, week by week, practice. So this week, in your family that you live with, or the church family that we love, how can you celebrate and rejoice with somebody who is happy and celebrating and rejoicing? How can you see them in their goodness and not be jealous or annoyed, but instead come alongside them and say, I'm so glad for you. And it makes me have joy because I see your joy. And together we can experience that even more because I love you. And when you're talking with somebody who is hurting this week, what does it look like to come alongside them and say, I will grieve with you. I am sad that you are sad. It hurts me that you are hurting. And so I will be here and I will help as much as I am able, just so that you know that I love you and that you are not alone. And when we have conflict this week, and sure, we're setting ourselves up for it, right? We've got a meeting on Tuesday, we've got a meeting on Sunday, there's lots of chance for us to disagree together. But we have the opportunity to do it as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. People who know how to listen together. People who know how to forgive each other because God forgave us. People who know that a difference of opinion doesn't kick you out of the family. We can forgive each other as Jesus forgave us. We can walk into the conflict knowing that we'll still be a family on the other side. What an incredible opportunity we have, because God loves us in the midst of our good and our bad and our ugly. We get to love each other in the midst of the good and the bad and the ugly. We do it all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the love of God our Father, and through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray together over our prayer. Lord God, you love us and chose us and saved us and made us into family together. You didn't just adopt us one by one, you adopted us and gave us to each other. So we pray that you would continue to work in our hearts so that we are able to love through the good and the bad and the ugly. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, grieving with those who grieve, and forgiving and bearing and being patient with one another whenever we experience conflict. We pray that you would take us through this next week and these next months, and that we would be able to say together, we are God's family here in Bluestar. We love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.